the show, we got the David Price news. We'll react. We got your bold predictions. We're kicking off bold prediction week with a couple of good ones. And we're mostly focusing on late round draft picks. So late ADP, who we want to take in the, like, I'm talking real late rounds. I'm talking guys that might not even get drafted, but you should at least put them on your radar. And plenty more. I'm Adam Azer. I got Heath Cummings and Chris Towers with me today. And we've got an auction coming up later. Who's pumped?
Oh, I'm very excited for this auction. I've been crafting my strategy throughout the weekend, and I'm going to dominate it.
Well, let's hear your. Let me hear your strategy. So
I'm not going to tell you my strategy.
I just want to make sure we don't have the same one. You know,
what's that?
I just don't want us to have the same one. That'd be awkward.
No, I'm not going to have your strategy. I'm certain of that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be very different. Chris Towers, what's up, dude?
Hey,
how we doing?
I'm good. I did not spend my my weekend thinking about fantasy baseball auction mock draft strategies because I'm not a loser like Heath.
Basically calling our listeners losers.
I spent the weekend playing video
sports.
Games.
Yeah, which video game are you currently rocking?
I've been playing the Uncharted series and also a lot of NBA 2K Online. I'm getting really good.
Okay.
And my problem with playing, like, I may just not have a good enough internet connection to play games online. Although I can stream, like, MLB, no problem at all. But there's too much of a delay.
You gotta plug right into the hardwire. None of this Wi-Fi stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
Okay. Well, I think we can all agree. Most important thing from the weekend that we all did, I'm sure. Absolutely bonkers episode of Girls last night. Am I right?
I did not watch that.
I was watching WWE.
I know
night.
Heath would watch Girls, but Chris Towers 100% watches Girls.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm actually, I will probably watch it, as with every show, like 3 years after it airs.
Okay.
What's it about?
A bunch of guys living in Brooklyn, you know. Okay, let's talk fantasy baseball here. And the price is sort of right. He does not need surgery, David Price. Good news for him, but he won't be ready for the start of the season, almost certainly. No timetable for when he's going to start throwing again. Okay, where is he in your rankings? When are you drafting David Price?
I moved him down to, I think, 15 at starting pitcher. I wrote about this on Friday right after the news came out. I think it's not perfect news, but it's good news. And so you're probably dropping him to like the sixth or seventh round range right now. But he's still very much worth drafting. He's just obviously a lot riskier than he was a week ago.
I dropped him down to 18th right in front of Zach Greinke.
All right. So yeah, same range of round, right? Six, seven, something like that.
Yeah. Maybe even five in a points lead.
Okay, it's, you know, it's risky, but I don't really know what else to say. You've got to sit there and think that there's a chance that David Price is going to have more elbow trouble at some point this season, right? I mean, he's not out of the woods.
Oh, it's much, yes. He now just sprints to the front of the line for the most likely pitchers to have Tommy John surgery this year.
Yeah, and it's, even if he doesn't, you're probably still looking at a season that has some fits and starts. The 7 to 10 day timetable, that's just to be reevaluated. You know, that doesn't mean he's going to start throwing on Friday.
Other Red Sox pitchers now, like, I think I still want to take a shot on Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm hoping I can get him for $1 or $2 today in our auction.
I'll keep that in mind.
I'm hoping. But I think I'm higher on him than you are anyway. I like what Rodriguez was able to do last year after he stopped tipping his pitches, after he fixed his mechanics. His mechanics were out of whack because he had a spring training injury. But additionally, I think there's a chance he starts the season in the rotation, and I think he could keep the job, you know, when David Price is ready to return. So I'm just trying to buy time. See, Kershaw last year, oh my gosh. There's, really? He went for $47 in our auction? All right, how about Scherzer? Scherzer went for 33, and Price last year went for 25. David Price went for $25 in a $260 budget last year in the same league that we're doing later today. So what do you think Price will go for today?
19.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually exactly what I have him
Not
for.
Sure I'm Thank paying you. That, so you guys can have him. Let's do some bold predictions.
Is that what we're going
to
do every day?
I think we need a new run up to bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Close. Mix the two. Like, hold the long sound, but do it in the
bold predictions.
Yes, there it is.
Okay. I'm going to have to try to remember that. We have two today. They were so many. They were so good. I couldn't help but pick two. So number one is from Jeff. And I try to make this kind of late round pick theme here. Bold prediction number one. Yuli Gurriel. They're on a nickname basis now. Yuli Gurriel hits 330, has an OPS over 900.
I think Yuli is now what he's listed at on CBS Sports. That's not his nickname. That's just his name now.
Okay. So I'm the formal guy who's still calling him Yulieski.
Right. Well, you're just like the guy that obviously clearly doesn't really know him. Like, everybody else calls him Yuli, but you're still calling him the name that you saw on his driver's license or something.
I have that
Mr.
issue.
Mr. G, can I get an interview? That'd be me.
Yeah.
What do you think? So, Gurriel hits 330, OPS over 900.
I don't think that's going to happen. But he is someone that I've thought about. We haven't really talked about him much, but he's someone that I keep thinking about. Like, we're probably going to regret not talking about him.
That's why we're talking about him, baby. That's the point of today's show.
Yeah, I'm not drafting him.
No, I get that. Like, that's the thing, is I'm not really either. But then I look at it and I say, I know he's going to be 33 in June. He didn't hit well upon coming to not really just the majors, but he didn't hit well in the minors either. And so I get why we're not drafting him, and it makes sense. He's not someone right now who should be drafted in mixed leagues. But, it seems like it could end up being really dumb. We were really excited about this guy 137 plate appearances ago.
Yeah, right.
And I do think there's a chance, if you want to take a flyer on him in the later rounds as a high upside guy, I think it makes sense.
So Gurriel is definitely going to get drafted today. So the way our auction works, it's a roto league. It's a pretty deep league. Two catchers, corner infield, middle infield, five outfielders, and a DH. Nine starting pitcher spots to be divvied up any way you want with starters or relievers, but you start nine. And then you've got seven bench spots. So it's a 30 round thing. We do 23 auctions. Auction rounds, and then that's going to take like 4 hours, and then we do a 7-round draft afterwards. So it's an adventure. Gurriel's going to be taken. I don't know. He might be a dollar or two bid, or he might go in the reserve rounds, but I will, like, if he's available, I'll take him. And
would you take him for $2?
I feel like there are enough corner infield options that you can get for $1 or $2 that you don't have to take Gurriel.
Like, I'm just trying to put my list together of players that I'm going to nominate. I'm starting with Eduardo Rodriguez.
That's
as
fine.
My very first player
I don't
nominated.
Know that I've taken Eduardo Rodriguez for more than a dollar. I'm not sure.
So. You've already said you hope you can get him for two.
I hope I can get him for one.
You can't.
He's going to nominate him for one.
That would be pretty funny. That would be a real test of our friendship. All right, so yeah, look, you've got Solarte, you've got Reyes, you got Moustakas, you got Ryan Healy, Castellanos, you know, probably
he's
all
behind all those guys for me.
All ahead of Gurriel, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Bold prediction of the day, number two from Glenn. Jarrell Cotton strikes out more than 185 batters with a sub 3.75 ERA and is a finalist for American League Rookie of the Year. Jarrell Cotton, more than 185 strikeouts, ERA better than 3.75, finalist for Rookie of the Year in the American League.
What makes someone a finalist?
I think top three, isn't it?
Okay.
Do like a thing now?
Okay, because I think he will definitely earn some votes this year. I don't know that I buy into him getting top three. I almost buy into the 185 strikeouts more than I do the ERA. I don't see how the Athletics have really made their defense that much better, and their defense was atrocious last year.
He didn't strike guys out last year, though. Cotton had just 23 strikeouts and 29 and a third.
Yeah. He did. He was so good in the minors, though.
He was, yeah.
Like, I don't. It's kind of like how everybody else was with Marcus Stroman for 2 years. eventually he's going to strike guys out. Well, it's only been 29 innings of not striking guys out for Cotton, so I still believe he's going to.
Yeah, I actually look at his AAA numbers, 434 ERA in 143 innings, much more than a strikeout per inning. And that's the kind of pitcher that I think he's going to be because he relies on the fastball changeup combination so much. Those guys tend to give up a lot of home runs, but they tend to get a lot of swinging strikes. He had a 19% whiff rate on his changeup last year, so there is the potential for him to get a lot of strikeouts, and I think he will be pretty good at that. The one thing I do look at, though, he does play in O.co. That's a good place to not give up home runs. So if you're looking at Jarrell Cotton as a sleeper, I think he does have some upside there.
Are you guys drafting Jarrell Cotton?
Yes. Yeah, he's – I mean, I haven't actually drafted him onto one of my teams yet, but he definitely should be drafted, in my opinion.
Okay. By the way, I don't think it's O.co anymore. I think it's just the –
it's Ricky Henderson Field at –
I think it's just the Oakland Coliseum.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they got tired of taking money?
You know the A's.
Well, I don't think that was a sponsorship thing, was it? Isn't that Oakland County or something?
You don't think Oakland County, like they just gave them?
I don't know.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
They should have like some plumber sponsor it because they're, you know, their sewage messes up twice a year at least. Email of the day is from Dustin. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. You still got time, obviously, to send in your bold predictions or any emails you want. We're going to read more later in the show. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. This is from Dustin. Dear Bowser, Toad, and Peach.
I know.
Yeah, it makes me miss Mario Kart. One of the all-time greats. Why is nobody talking about the fact that Jose Altuve stopped running in the second half last year? If that's his new form, is Altuve really a top three pick? And yeah, you know, only seven steals and 14 attempts after the All-Star break. I think 14 attempts is nice. It should do better than 50%. But, I think also kind of important that he just didn't steal as many bases when he batted third. You know, when he was batting leadoff, Altuve was running more. If he bats third again this year, I don't know. Is he going to be a steals guy?
And I don't know for sure that he's going to bat. Like, I've not got a good grip on how they're going to construct their lineup. If I would be a little more concerned if he was hitting third. I don't think he's going to steal 50 or 60 bases ever again, like he did in 2014.
But even then, it's still hard to see him not getting to 20.
I think I would set the over-under at 27.
And if he's a 20-20 guy and, you know, has to be considered the odds-on favorite coming into every season for the batting title.
And probably a 90-90 guy.
At least.
RBI.
Yeah, it's hard not to, even if he doesn't steal 40-plus bases or 30-plus bases again, you're still looking at someone who's been, what, a top three hitter three straight years, pretty much?
Okay, that's Jose Altuve. So let's go to the news and notes, guys, and some important stuff coming out over the weekend. David Dahl, his back injury is going to force David Dahl to miss some time, so the injury a little worse than the Rockies. And Dahl had thought, and what do you think right now with David Dahl? I'm just going to look up his average draft position. But, yeah, it is 92nd overall, so that is like eighth round, ninth round at a 12-team league, right? Yeah, ninth yeah. round, something like that. Yeah, David Dahl, your thoughts on this situation?
There's a pretty good chance we ended up overrating him coming into the season. Kind of through no fault of our own, but kind of a little bit because we've known about the concerns that he might not have an everyday job to begin with. And then throwing on the injury concerns, it looks like David Dahl, needs to be downgraded at this point.
This is not how you win a starting job in spring training by missing spring training, being hurt. I downgraded him. I know quite a bit more than Scott did. Scott didn't seem as concerned. I think this is bad news because they've got Parra. They're paying Parra a bunch of money. Gives him an easy out with Dahl if he misses a large chunk of the spring to just say Parra is our starting outfielder.
Right.
I don't know that Parra holds on to the job.
Parra did not play well last year. So it's like now you have an opportunity potentially to get David Dahl at a discount. You know, let's say he misses 3 weeks or whatever, and you put him on, you draft him, you put him on your DL, and he comes back and still starting outfielder for the Rockies at that point, maybe? Or you think that's a little, you think that that's kind of wishful thinking?
It's definitely not a guarantee. And so if you can get him in like, I don't know, the 10th round?
I don't think I want him that early.
Okay.
So you guys have David Dahl ahead of Michael Brantley?
I do, yes.
I do, but you know how much I don't like Michael Brantley.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. You're skeptical that Brantley's going to be able to come back.
Yeah. I would like to, I'm going to upgrade Michael Brantley as soon as he plays in a baseball game.
But you can't do that right now. And so, like, we're drafting today.
Right. I'm not going to be drafting Michael Brantley in this league.
Okay. I might, Heath. You might have to nominate him for me.
He's on the list right after Eduardo. I've got David Dahl as my 51st overall outfielder in Roto, right behind Adam Duvall.
Okay. Oh, God. Adam Duvall. Interesting.
I don't know why we don't like Adam Duvall.
Well, he's kind of a one-trick pony, right? He's just power.
Pretty good trick, though.
It is a good trick. Yeah, I guess he could be Chris Davis-esque with a K. By the way, Michael Brantley responding well to taking batting practice on consecutive days, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Just updating you. Just updating you. That's all. That's according to Cleveland.com. More news. Matt Carpenter won't play in the World Baseball Classic due to back stiffness. Not a huge concern, right, for Carpenter?
It's a little concern. I mean, that's not the dreaded oblique, but it's still a core. It's still your core.
Yeah, it'll be more concerning if he starts missing spring training games.
Yes.
But for now, it's not super concerning.
We read a Carlos Martinez article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It was by Benjamin Hockman. And Martinez, yeah, he wants to, as Chris would say, pitch worse this year. He wants to maybe focus less on strikeouts.
To be clear, I did not see anything in that article saying that he wants to. It was all his manager saying if he goes out and tries to strike everybody out, he's not going to be able to get through six innings. The Cardinals want him to pitch worse.
Okay, well, you look at Chris Sale had a really good year last year. The strikeouts were down, but the innings were up. And if that's the trade-off, the only problem is Sale was coming from, like, elite strikeouts.
Right.
Martinez is certainly not.
Martinez is pretty average.
Well, I guess my question is, last year he saw a significant drop in his strikeouts. Was that by design? Are they wanting him to post numbers like last year?
Or
are they wanting him to strike even? Like, I can't imagine saying, we want you to strike out six batters per nine.
Or was 2015 the outlier? Which, based on the rest of his major league career and his time in the high minors, it is.
Well, I think 2015 is clearly the outlier if they're telling him to pitch like he did last year.
Well, it's the outlier, period.
But he didn't pitch poorly last year, Carlos Martinez.
No.
I mean, like we say, he was like number 16 in Roto, number 22 in points. He had like nine losses. The whip is high, but you'd like to see the strikeouts go up, and the stuff is there. But what kind of pitcher will he be? I don't know that based on that article. I mean, it's a fairly important article. The manager saying that they kind of want him to pitch deeper to games, that I don't think that you can rely on Carlos Martinez for strikeouts. Is that a fair way to kind of sum it up?
Sure. He's not, despite the big fastball and the impressive stuff, he's never been a super impressive strikeout pitcher, with the exception of 2015.
Okay, Hanley Ramirez will not play in the World Baseball Classic because of a shoulder injury, but he is playing in spring training. So is that the same thing with Carpenter? Not a huge concern right now for Hanley?
Less concerning than Carpenter, because he's not even missing spring training games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is Hanley, I know, right?
He's Hanley, yeah. That certainly adds something to it.
Do you guys prefer Carlos Santana or Hanley Ramirez?
Santana.
I prefer Hanley.
Even in a points league, Chris?
It's a little closer in a points league.
Okay. Houston Street, Astros closer. MRI on his triceps. Your take on this situation. By the way, relief pitcher preview tomorrow.
Yeah, it's more about who besides Houston Street's going to get the closing job.
And what is your take there? Cam Bedrosian?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I was reading something that Andrew Bailey has been getting a look as well. So it's definitely not a sure thing that Bedrosian does.
Yeah, Andrew Bailey. Let's see what he did. That's what I thought. 5.36 ERA last year. I don't know. I don't really.
Based on last year, Bedrosian's clearly the best option there.
Bailey finished strong last year. So that's nice.
Bedrosian does have a track record of not doing that. So, you know, he's definitely not a guarantee there either.
It's not a great bullpen necessarily.
Well, no, and it's a team that might give you 40 save chances.
The White Sox released Brett Lorre. Does that mean Yoan Moncada has a better chance of coming up early?
Probably. I mean, it's probably going to depend entirely on money. Like if they don't mind starting his service time clock up early, they'll call him up. If they do, it's not going to matter who else is there, I think.
I think this is more a situation of Brett Lorre is not really the kind of guy you want to have on a team that's not trying to win. If that makes any sense. Like Brett Lorre is a gamer.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not going to be very happy in this situation.
So Brett Lorre is the big winner here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It sounds like the Mets and Royals and maybe Blue Jays are all three shown interest.
So two contenders and the Royals.
You could say that.
Yeah, I would say that. Look, news and notes are boring. So you just tell me. I'm going to say a note. You tell me if it's important. Hopefully the answer is no. Steven Strasburg may not pitch from the windup this year.
Love it. It's the most wasted motion of in all sports.
I don't think it's likely to make any difference for fantasy.
Michael Fulmer has a minor ankle injury that will cause him to miss a start.
Not concerned right now.
Nope.
Carlos Rodon unlikely to be ready for the first week of the season. They're taking it slow with Carlos Rodon.
That's a little concerning.
Yeah. I would assume they only need three or four starters the first week of the season. So that's just their plan for him.
Okay. The most recent one is that Rick Hahn said Friday he expects Rodon to start within the first five games of the season. So.
All right. So NBD, which is no big deal, people. And Tim Tebow going to play some spring training games this week.
Is Joe Borchard not available?
Joe Borchard. Don't make me Google that. Who is Joe Borchard?
Just a former left-handed top prospect who couldn't hit, but hit the ball far when he did. And,
oh, okay.
You know, not a good baseball player.
Okay. Joe Borchard.
Tune in to watch the movie.
Very funny stuff. I got to tell you about SeatGeek because you're missing out if you're not using it. It's a better way to buy and sell tickets online, and it's a great way to save $20 on your next ticket purchase. That's pretty sweet. SeatGeek, download the app right now. SeatGeek is the name. Go to SeatGeek.com or download the app, and with our offer code FANTASY, you get a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Again, that offer code is FANTASY. So SeatGeek has taken a complicated process and made it simpler. You got a one-stop shop now that's going to search multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals for you. Now, this week, I don't think it's going to happen, but the Miami Hurricanes are in town. They're in Brooklyn in the ACC tournament. They got to win two games. That, of course, they're both at noon on Wednesday and Thursday, so I can't go. But if they win two games, they play Friday night. And if that's the case, I'll be on my SeatGeek app. I'm going to let SeatGeek search all the places, find me the best deals. I'm going to buy tickets. And every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. So to get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code, and enter the promo code FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download that SeatGeek app. The promo code is FANTASY, all caps. All right, Heath, you ready to get called out on your rankings?
I love nothing more than when you find something in the 1 million players that I rank that doesn't look right to you.
But it's a number one player at a position.
The number one player at a position.
How are you gonna put Wade Davis as your number one closer?
What do you mean?
Like, just put Kenley Jansen there. Why be fancy about it?
I made that move when he was traded to the Cubs. He was not my number one closer before that. I don't believe in the narrative that the Cubs are so good that they're going to win too many games by a lot of runs. I expect him to have the most save opportunities. I expect him to lead the league in saves, and that is why he's my number one closer.
I do believe that their run differential will prevent them from having save opportunities from time to time, and maybe won't be as bad as last year, but I don't think, like, it'll be better for the Dodgers.
Like, that was just a basically half a season thing that happened.
Well, it was
as soon as Aroldis Chapman showed up.
1 month. Chapman had 1 month of a lot of save chances.
They didn't have that problem anymore.
He had 11 saves in August, I think. And September was pretty lean. But right. I don't know, like, just
and the other, like,
just
the other
think
big
about
concern
it.
I had with Davis was his health. That kind of goes away when a guy gets traded for me.
But he's had three forearm strains in the past
Wait,
2 years.
What? That?
Yes, the same thing I said with Johnny Cueto when he signed in free agency, and Scott was talking about how his arm was probably hurt. If the guy stayed on the same team from this year to next year, I'm slightly more likely to believe, yes, he's got some injury that might affect him coming into this year. If he just got traded, it's pretty clear the team just looked him over.
Okay. All right.
What's this is baffling, Chris. I want to know what he does not understand about this.
No, that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
I think it's good. I think I understand what you're saying, and the Cueto example was a good one. Relief pitchers tomorrow. I don't know if we'd have time to get into that tomorrow, so I thought we'd bring it up today. Fun stuff.
Glad you were able to do that.
Yeah, there you go. That wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it didn't really bother me at all.
Good. Good article to read on CBSSports.com. Matt Snyder goes through every team and gives his preferred leadoff hitter based on base percentage and other skills. And he has a note in there about Gene Segura that we haven't brought up, but we know about it. And, you talk about Segura, that's who he wants to see leading off for Seattle. And his career, and I don't know that we really have to comment on this, but we can't forget that, one of his bad years, Gene Segura had a tragedy in his family, lost an infant. And it just does sort of remind you there's a lot at play. Personal stuff that we never know about. Robinson Cano is the same thing. One of his quote-unquote bad years with Seattle, I think his grandfather died and he's very close to him. So you never know how those things are going to affect a player. But I don't know. It's a good read. So check that article out, and that's all. Now, a guy who used to write for us now writes for FanRag Sports. John Heyman had an inside baseball column and some things that came out of that. We're going to get to the late-round picks kind of now. The big decision in O's camp, says Heyman, is whether to let Dylan Bundy throw his slider/cutter. Chris Davis came back from a batting practice session saying, "What the bleep was that? It's such a devastating pitch, but Orioles people are concerned about Bundy's health. They aren't sure they'll let him throw the slider/cutter. He still has a fine repertoire even without the pitch." So Dylan Bundy, have you guys been drafting Dylan Bundy in your leagues?
Yeah, he's worth a late round, especially in head-to-head leagues where he's SPARP eligible.
Sure, yeah. That's an easy one.
What is interesting about him is his changeup was his best swing and miss pitch last year. It was also his worst pitch in terms of results. He gave up 6 home runs, a 239 ISO. His curveball very rarely got swing and misses, but he only allowed 1 extra base hit on 56 at-bats with the curveball. So that's something to keep an eye on with him.
Also, Heyman's predicting that Ryan Healy is going to do some major damage this year. Healy batted .305 with a .504 slugging percentage in 72 games last year, 13 homers, 20 doubles. So he was very good. This is the A's player who's going to be third base eligible, but also should gain first base eligibility at some point, and he's going to DH for them as well. Ryan Healy, is he a late round pick for you guys?
Yes, I like Ryan Healy.
Yeah, he's a late round pick. He's not one that I've landed or targeted, but I like him more than Gurriel.
Do you like Ryan Healy or, for a corner infield spot, Travis Shaw?
I like Shaw better.
Chris?
I would probably rather get Healy.
Okay. How about...
I've got Healy more than Moustakas Castellanos, which is another tier below that.
All right. Works for me. And Heyman also seemed to indicate that Blake Treinen and Coda Glover are the favorites to be the Nationals' closer. How about that? Sean Kelly, according to Heyman, more suited for the setup role.
Gross.
I don't know, Kelly. I don't know. I assume you should probably rank the likelihood of who's going to get that job by age.
Really?
Who's the oldest?
That would be Kelly, right?
I see. Isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Dusty Baker did say he's still hoping to get an elite closer.
They would really like to get David Robertson.
Yeah, failing finding an elite closer, David Robertson would do the job.
All right, so spring training. Has anybody so far in spring training elevated their stock to late-round pick status, like somebody you want to take a flyer on, or maybe not even, maybe even earlier than the late rounds, but who is moving up for you in the rankings?
I think I would imagine you're asking the wrong couple of people. Scott White will probably have more to say about spring training guys, but I have trouble getting excited about spring training, doubly so when it's just the first week or so.
I don't think we've seen enough yet for somebody to make a big impact on their stock.
I would say pitchers. I'm more willing to look at what pitchers are doing just because you can see stuff like velocity or new pitches. So like, I am more interested in Shelby Miller after seeing reports of him throwing in the high 90s consistently in his first start.
But I will say some names that are like on the radar for that to happen if they continue what they're doing.
All right.
Scott's favorite guy, Mitch Haniger.
Sure.
I think you have to be excited about the limited action, what we've seen from Michael Conforto.
Oh, all the Mets are just raking right now.
Keon Broxton.
That's the guy I wanted to focus on, because Broxton, let's see, he might hit leadoff for Milwaukee. After the All-Star break, he hit .294 with 8 home runs and 16 steals. So, yeah, I think that's – and 8 of those 9 home runs, by the way, were on the road, so he didn't even get the Miller Park – home run slide effect. So yeah, Broxton I think is a big one, Heath.
Yeah, and then another one that's older and totally different situation, but like Joey Bats does not think that he's lost it yet. He is destroying the baseball right now. Yeah.
Well, right, and DeGrom I think throwing like mid to high 90s was very nice to see.
I really have a hard time with the velocities in spring training.
Yeah, if you don't have pitch effects, it's kind of, it doesn't matter yet.
He did get rave reviews, though. Like, they were very pleased with Jacob DeGrom, which was encouraging to me because I think we know his potential.
Yeah, I agree. There's been, I wasn't trying to poo-poo it. I don't know what to make of these when they're not normalized.
Well, yeah, it's like, I saw Aaron Nola in his first start. There were reports that he was throwing 95. Aaron Nola doesn't throw 95. So it was probably a situation where the radar gun was a little off. I don't think Shelby Miller was throwing 99. But if Shelby Miller's throwing 97, then that changes things a little bit.
You know, a lot of it, by the way, could be like position battles, too. Guys are sort of taking advantage of. Lance Lynn has given up one run in 6 innings, only 1 strikeout, though. And actually, on ESPN.com a few weeks ago, David Schoenfield wrote an article about which spring training stats matter. It actually wasn't his research. He cited a study. And I think the study basically said that stuff like walk to strikeout ratio translates better than conventional stats. So that was something that I kept an eye on. Will Myers, 5 walks, 3 strikeouts. That's pretty nice. Aaron Judge, 3 walks, only two strikeouts in 18 plate appearances. 18 plate appearances, I know, but I would expect that to be like more like 7 for Aaron Judge. So I don't know. As we move further along into spring training, I mean, after all, it is only March 6th. Yeah. Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I would want to wait until starting pitchers are pitching more past the third inning also. Because there's a lot of guys that are wearing uniform number 92 right now who are pitching against Aaron Judge.
Yeah. Peter O'Brien has had a nice spring, right?
Well, we know that's relevant. We know that's real.
Nothing's changed with Peter O'Brien. He can still hit the ball farther than almost everyone. It's just whether he can hit the ball more than 2 out of every 10 times.
And I think Greg Bird, you know, is having a good enough spring. He's got 3 home runs. That's tied for the lead. And I know he had a 2-double game at one point. It's made me at least, you know, less concerned about the shoulder. Bird, I think, had a torn labrum. We missed all of last year. But this is a guy, when you're taking late round flyers, this guy actually does have big league experience. He played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Greg Bird is someone that's in the corner infield discussion late in a draft, guys.
Yeah.
Well, where is he with Gurriel and Travis Shaw and Ryan Healy.
I would rather draft Bird than – he's between Gurriel and Shaw for me.
Well, he's between Shaw and Gurriel for you in that order, right?
Sure, yes. Yeah. He's behind Shaw and ahead of Gurriel.
Right. I think he's in that range, but I just – I don't know where he plays.
What do you mean where he plays? He plays for the Yankees.
I think he's going to play first base.
Is he going to play every day?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that is obviously what I meant. You both knew that.
You don't know how often he plays.
Yeah, I don't know where.
When he plays rather than where he plays, if you want to be pedantic.
I would say he will generally play around 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm being very shallow and pedantic, Chris. You get that reference?
I got the reference. Okay. I'm just mad at you both.
Alex Cobb. Alex Cobb has given up one earned run in 5 innings with no walks and 3 strikeouts. That's nice. Tyler Glasnow. So Glasnow has had one great start and one bad start. He's competing with Drew Hutchison for the 5th spot in the rotation. But does it seem likely that Glasnow begins the year in AAA?
Yes.
Probably not someone you need to draft, but someone that I will be excited to pick up when he gets called up.
All right, Joe Musgrove is a guy we need to keep an eye on. He had a good start on Saturday. I think we want him to win that job, the 5th spot in the rotation ahead of Mike Fiers.
For sure.
We're hoping that he will be putting out fires.
There you go. Because we did not start Mike Fiers, but we would start and draft Joe Musgrove with a late pick. And then I know you guys brought up Stroman earlier. I've been meaning to say this. I've been looking at it. The strikeouts with Marcus Stroman. So Stroman so far has 6 strikeouts in 4 2/3 with no walks. That's great. He's going to join Team USA soon for the World Baseball Classic. World Baseball Classic underway. I'm pumped. Yeah.
Israel won their opening game.
No way.
Yeah, they beat South Korea.
Oh, cool.
Or just Korea.
Their mascot is hilarious. Have you seen the Team Israel mascot?
What is it?
It is the mensch on the bench, a like gigantic life-size mensch on the bench.
That's fantastic.
It's very funny. Stroman, can he be a strikeout guy? All right, so the argument is that like second half of the year, Stroman started striking out more batters. He struck out 21 Astros in 13 1/3 over 2 starts. If you take away the 2 Astros starts, he struck out 7.5 batters per 9 in 89 1/3 innings. Does that matter to you?
I think it's good detective work, Adam Aizen.
Thank you, right? It's kind of cool.
Them hairs have been split.
I'm not expecting him to be a strikeout pitcher. I'm hoping he can be league average at strikeouts, which would make him a very good pitcher with his ground ball and control.
I mean, really, what you're hoping for with Marcus Stroman is that he can have the Jay Happ or Aaron Sanchez year or the Dallas Keuchel 2015 year.
No, you're hoping that he can be a league average strikeout. Sure, the Dallas Keuchel 2016, where he's a league average strikeout pitcher and he does everything else well enough that he can be a well above average
and
pitcher.
And the BABIP gods smile down on him.
Sure.
I'm very interested to see what Keuchel does, because I remember watching Keuchel that year and just thinking, this guy's amazing. He's nasty. And, you know, obviously struggled last year. I think it was injury related, but I don't know what kind of pitcher he is, and he'll be a very interesting case. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it unfolds. So let's do the draft-o-meter. I'm going to give you some late round players. 0 to 10. How likely are you to draft them? Ender Enciarte.
I guess 0 would be not even an NL only. So I will say 2.
Yeah, 3.
Why so low on Enciarte? This seems like a guy that can get you 20 steals. And he did.
That's kind of it. You're hoping for a relatively high batting average.
All right.
Okay. But it's going to be pretty empty. He doesn't play in a great lineup.
Well, he could score a good amount of runs. No, he could score 80.
He could. He's fine as a late round, low upside steals and batting average guy.
I'm gonna bump it up to 3.
Okay, Ender Enciarte's a 3. How about completely different player, Victor Martinez, who actually in Roto last year finished ahead of Ben Zobrist, Kendrys Morales, Adam Eaton. He was, I think, the number 90 overall player in Roto last year, and he hit 27 home runs with a 289 batting average. pretty good. Victor Martinez, 0-10 on the draft-o-meter.
He bounced back very nicely, but the same concerns still exist to a large extent, so I'll say 5.
I'm confused now as to what this game is.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought, like, should this guy be drafted game? Is this a would I draft him at his ADP game?
No, it's a would you draft him with a late round pick? Because where did Martinez? I got him. We did a roto draft last week. I got him like third or last pick or something.
Yeah, I would draft him there. I think his ADP is like 18th round. I think that's fine. I would draft him.
I think that's very nice value for him.
For Victor Martinez.
9.
Okay. Hernan Perez.
2.
4. I don't understand what Milwaukee's going to do with all of their players, but I'm going to assume that 1 to 2 of the young outfielders get sent back to the minor leagues. And Hernan Perez plays in like 5 to 6 games per week and starts 3 to 4 times.
I'm glad you said that because they said, you know, I think it was Craig Counsell said that Hernan Perez is a 7 position player. He's not going to catch. He's not going to pitch. He can play anywhere else on the field. So he might get shortstop eligibility at some point. Brian Braun plays 140 games. So when they have to rest him, they could easily put Hernan Perez in there. And yeah, anyone struggles, anyone needs a day off.
That's just the problem is like we all think the Brewers are going to be terrible, but we like 11 guys that they have. Lewis Brinson still hasn't been ruled out for an opening day job. It's just like they have too many guys.
Well, look, late steals, Ender Inciarte or Hernan Perez, who would you prefer?
Probably Inciarte.
I'm going to go with Hernan.
Let me phrase it differently because the way I phrase it makes it sound like who do you think will steal more bases? Just who do you think is a better late round pick? They're both going to give you some steals. Perez
has more upside.
I'm going with Hernan Perez.
All right. Next up on the draft-o-meter, Jose Reyes.
10.
Okay.
Well, he's currently being not drafted.
I will draft him at that ADP.
So, yeah, he is well worth a final round pick.
From Jose Reyes?
There are, 276 players in a 12-team roto? He's 289 right now. He's worth a last round pick.
Okay, from Jose Reyes to Yasiel Puig. Yasiel Puig.
I mean, Puig's 218. I'll draft him there. Yeah, that's a 7. I feel like Yasiel Puig's one of those guys that like his struggles get overblown. Like he hasn't been good over the last two seasons, but people act like he's just been like the worst.
He has not been the worst. 218. Like that's not bad. I'm not excited to draft him there. There's still upside, but this is probably the last year that I'm saying there's still upside.
Absolutely.
Eric Thames.
Nah.
He's going in the same range as Puig. I'm just as likely to draft either of them. I find them both perfectly reasonable people to draft.
So 1.
Chris 5. Is there finally playing the game. At this point, are you drafting Greg Bird over Yasiel Puig and Eric Thames?
I'd probably rather draft Puig or Thames.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd definitely take Puig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manuel Margot's got a little bit of an injury right now, but doesn't seem serious.
The problem with doesn't seem serious is, according to Scott White's sources in San Diego, Alex Dickerson is a foregone conclusion as a starting left fielder.
Right.
And Margot and Jankowski are competing for the center field job. Jankowski did it last year. Margot's trying to take the job, and now he's hurt. So I'm probably back down to like a 1 or a 2 until he starts doing things.
Yeah.
Let's do some pitchers. Tyson Ross, 0-10.
1. I'm not really expecting much.
He's a DL stash because Ross is not going to be back. I don't know. End of April maybe seems like the earliest right now for Ross.
The price is so low with him that, yeah, I'll draft him. He's a 5 as a late-round pick.
Ian Kennedy.
Where's Kennedy?
Probably.
Almost undrafted, 258.
Yeah, there's a reason I picked these guys, by the way. Like, they're all almost undrafted.
I would much rather have Ian Kennedy than Tyson Ross. If he's going in the last couple of rounds, I'll say 10.
Jordan Zimmerman. 5 for Chris, Jordan Zimmerman in it.
Same exact thing. He's right in that same range with Kennedy for me.
A little lower for me. I just don't think he has the upside that Tyson Ross does.
Hisashi Iwakuma.
A little lower than Jordan Zimmerman.
Yeah, six-ish.
For like a late last round-ish pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather have him than Ross.
Lucas Giolito.
I'd probably rather have Giolito than any of them, just based on potential.
All right.
Yeah. It just depends on what type of league you're talking about and where you're at. Like, with the strategy of taking a lot of hitters early on, I need some guys like Ian Kennedy at the end of my rotation just so I can get some innings and strikeouts, and Giolito might not pitch in the majors for 2 months. I'm going to say a three.
I just feel like you can find someone like guys like Ian Kennedy at any point in the season.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Emails. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This one is from No Name. During the outfield preview, I didn't hear Albert Almora's name even once. I understand the Cubs outfield is crowded, but Almora is currently being treated as a starting center fielder. Why no love, fellas? And I would just tell No Name that I thought there was going to be a platoon in center field with John Jay and Almora. Am I wrong?
And he's on the wrong side of it. I think John Jay is going to play pretty regularly against right-handed pitching. They really love his defense.
Okay, so that's why we're not into Albert Almora.
And Almora is one of those guys who was a top prospect largely because of his glove.
Mm-hmm. This is from Tim in Wichita. Greetings, George, Frank, Willie, and Brett.
It's the 1985 Kansas City Royals.
Oh, cool. I was looking for power in the middle rounds of my first real draft Friday night. I grabbed Kendrys Morales. He got off to a bad start last year, still got close to 100 RBIs, hit 263. I think he hit 30 home runs, right? Morales?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got Morales in the 13th round. Are we sleeping too hard on Kendrys Morales?
He is definitely an under-the-radar guy that could hit 35, 36 home runs this year.
Yeah. The issue with what's his name? Morales.
Big Ken.
He, first of all, in our leagues, is only DH eligible.
Yes.
Secondly, he was pretty awful for most of last year.
I would expect he's going to be first base eligible, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would guess by the end of May, he's earned first base eligibility. They're going to want to get Jose Bautista at bats and at DH,
yeah,
and they can very easily just bench whoever they're playing at first that day and put Morales at first.
Okay. So would you guys prefer, well, I guess it's probably an easy one, Morales over Victor Martinez, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But would you rather have Morales in the 13th round or Martinez in the 18th round?
That's a little closer, and I might be willing to take Victor Martinez just because I'm not sure the difference in production is going to be that great.
Okay.
I'm still going Morales.
Here's an email from Todd. Last year, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper were the consensus top two picks. Now, Trout remains the consensus top pick, and there's hesitation to take Harper at the end of the first. Just saying, I don't think Harper should be top two, but I think he should be taken more towards the middle of the first round and is safer than we give him credit for. Bryce Harper.
I don't think he's safe at all. I think he's probably, the reason I have him, I'm pretty sure I have him 11th in both roto and head-to-head, is because I think he's the riskiest of that first 11 players. And it wasn't just like he had a bad BABIP season. His power was way down. His plate discipline was really good. But right now we have 5 seasons of Bryce Harper, and 2015 is a clear outlier. He's kind of been the same guy every other year. And I think he's certainly capable of 2015. But last year definitely makes me realize that 2015 wasn't like some new baseline for him.
Okay, next email is, come on, people, put your name in the email. That's all right. We'll make up a name. Chris from Fort Lauderdale. I've been listening to the position previews. I appreciate the info. Can you run down some fantasy relevant players that you expect to gain new eligibility in the first month of the season? P.S. Adam, thank you. I love the analysis and the show recommendations. My wife and I started watching New Girl after you talked about it last year, and we're hooked. You actually sound like Schmidt sometimes. And in my head, you look like him. I get that a lot.
Clearly.
If I'm anyone on that show, it's probably Schmidt. I haven't watched it in a couple of years. Well, since last year, I guess. I'm a little behind. But
I need to catch up on this season.
It's good?
I haven't watched this season. Oh, I need to catch up.
Okay, we'll do it together. We'll have a new girl date. So, position eligibility. Well, Ryan Healy, first of all, will be first base eligible. He mentioned Trey Turner, shortstop, VR, second base, Ian Desmond, first base, Peraza, second base, Thames, first base, Brad Miller, second base, Brandon Drury, second base. Anyone else?
Is Jose Peraza already second base eligible?
No, he's going to...
He's expected to start at second base, right?
So he's shortstop and outfield, so he'll gain second base. Jerks and Profar will gain outfield.
Yeah.
Whatever that's worth.
Potentially true. These kind of open-ended questions are tough when you ask about the whole league, but I think that's a good number of names.
Okay. So again, VR, Trey Turner, Desmond, Peraza, Thames, Brad Miller, Brandon Drury, these guys will gain position eligibility elsewhere. Alex Snyder, I know you've talked about the strategies for different types of leagues, but what about head-to-head categories? What I would tell Alex Snyder is to listen to the mock draft we did on Wednesday on the air. It was a head-to-head categories league. Yep. But that was really the most important thing that we've done for me, for personally. I really learned a lot from that draft. And, you know, I would probably go about things a little bit differently now. I always say don't sacrifice a better player for a category. Like, don't take a steel specialist over someone who's a lot better than him that does different things. And I still kind of believe that if you're playing in a league that trades a lot, right? If you're going to play it out and you know it's an active league and you can get, you know, just pick a better player and then trade him or whatever and get your steals that way. But I do sort of regret passing up on D. Gordon. Like, I think I could have picked either D. Gordon or Jose Bautista in that head-to-head categories league. And that was a tough call for me. I really don't know what I would do if I were presented with that situation.
I think you can get away with just going best player available in head-to-head categories just because taking a zero on stolen bases is not nearly as harmful in head-to-head categories as season-long roto.
All right. Do you think so? Because I'm struggling with that. And we got to end the show here, so let's do two keeper questions. This is from Rex. I hate the DH, Kennedy. He can keep one player for $11. Choose Segura, Greinke, Gattis, Moncada. Segura, Greinke, Gattis, Moncada. 5x5. Who's your pick?
I'd probably go Segura.
I would go Greinke if it's a one-year keeper, and I think I'd go Moncada if it's a forever keeper.
This is from Kevin. I need to keep five with no penalty in a head-to-head league. Strasburg, Stanton, Bautista, Greinke, Carlos Martinez, Carlos Santana, Zach Britton, Schwarber, Gene Segura. Pick five.
Strasburg and Stanton for sure.
I would go Strasburg, Stanton, Bautista, Greinke, and it comes down to Schwarber or Segura. I have Segura higher.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, guys. Good show.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Finishing up position previews tomorrow. It's also Team Name Tuesday, so get your team names in. Fantasy Baseball at CBSSports.com. Fantasy Baseball at... No, Fantasy Baseball at CBSi.com. Excuse me. Fantasy Baseball at CBSi.com. For Heath Cummings and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. Let's do relief pitchers tomorrow. See ya.